You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 786 of the Dressage Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. The Dressage Radio Show is the official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation. On today's show, Megan and I bring you three thoughtful and inspiring conversations from across the dressage community, from goal setting and mindset to perseverance and top-level competition. We kick things off with Ruth Holgan Polson, the creator of the Dressage Rider Journal in 2026. Ruth shares the inspiration behind the journal and how riders can use reflection and intention to support their training, and their mindset consistency are just as important as time in the saddle. Next, we sit down with Carly Coleri, who shares her personal cool runnings journey in the dressage industry with perseverance has meant throughout her career. Based in Boston, Massachusetts, Carly runs her own farm and training program and talks candidly about the challenges, growth, and determination it takes to build your own business. We wrap up the episode with Megan Davis, who reflects on the incredible Florida season she's having right now with Toronto Lightfoot. Megan shares highlights of the season and what went into their preparation and what it means to see a long-term development pay off in the show ring. An inspiring look at the partnership, patience, and performance at the top level.
Welcome to the Dressage Radio Show.
This is Reese Koffler Stanfield in Wellington, Florida.
And this is Megan McIsaac from Murrieta, California, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show. Hey, Reese.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
I'm great, Reese. You know, it is warm. I get to ride a horse. I'm pretty simple. How about you?
I love it. Well, first of all, we got a shout out to everybody that has been in the cold weather. No one wants to hear it, but it's actually been quite cold here in Florida also. That wind chill in the teens really woke you up one morning. It was really windy. It was like gale force winds. And you'll hear Megan Davis later in the show. She was like showing in it. So we've had some chilly temperatures, but we're okay. We're surviving. Nothing like up north. So shout out to everybody up north. I know you're probably wanting to like stab us right now. Like they don't want to hear it. But we're great. We're good here in Florida. I mean, it has been incredibly busy, but like all in the best of ways. And lots of things going on and people are really riding and competing now. So I feel like I've got my skates on, but like in a really good way.
Awesome.
I know. And California is great. How's our new boy? How's our new horse doing?
I'm starting to figure him out. He's my type. Like, he's very introverted. I'm figuring out what he likes, what he doesn't like, how much leg I need to use, how much hand I need to use. And it's just so much fun. I love new horses, Reese. It's just, I could be a speed dater. It's a good thing I have a fiance.
We'll talk to AV about this. Like, yeah, he's probably like sitting in the corner like, what are you talking about? I love this. I love it. But I think that that's so cool. Like you said, that's, you love that. I'm not as much of a speed dater. I like my steady Eddie relationships. I'm not going to lie to you. My husband's thinking, cool. We've been married almost 20 years. That's a good thing. So, I love that. That is so cool. I love that. In the spirit of Valentine's Day, for sure.
Oh my God, that's coming up.
It's coming up. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Happy Valentine's Day. I'm not ready at all.
I'm not ready for it to be February, let alone Valentine's Day. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're like almost halfway through season, which is crazy.
I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for that either, Reese. Wait a minute. It's been so nice enjoying life here out in California with no fire and just working away. I'm like, no.
You needed that. If you're kind of new here, poor Megan and everyone who's listening who was in California for those fires last year, it was scary. Like, it was very scary. And we're not from California. So hearing Megan, I was like, are you okay? Like, what do you need? It was grateful. So I'm really happy that you're having a great season this year. We needed it for sure. So I love that.
I miss your little text. Are you alive? Are you okay?
I know. I need to start descending that. Like, how's your day going? I'll bring that back. I'll bring it back. Like, how's your day going? I love that. I love it. Well, we are thinking about everybody. We're thinking about you, and we're hoping for warm weather soon for sure. But we have an awesome show. I think you're just going to love this. I think Carly is, I met her a couple weeks ago at the, you know, again, there are events that happen here all the time. And Lyndon Gray runs amazing teacher for training lectures. And Carly came up and chatted with me after Eliza Sidner and I did, Rom did our, we call it our dog and pony show that we have given here on the podcast, our State of the Industry talk, which was really fun. And this was for trainers. And it was really, and Carly came up and met me after and chatted, and she told me her story. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're perfect for the podcast. And for the Winter Olympics, like, just wait, you're going to love her. She's precious. And she's just like that in person. So we're going to stop and have our great commercial break from Kentucky Performance Products. And we're so thankful. I'm really thankful for their electrolytes because they're summer games. I've been using them a lot down here because of the cold temperatures. So thank you for Kentucky Performance Products for all they do for us.
These conditions have a negative impact on your horse's ability to perform and recover after exercise. Research shows that electrolytes help regulate nerve and muscle function and maintain a healthy fluid balance. Summer Games Electrolyte is formulated to replenish electrolytes and trace minerals that are lost when your horse sweats, regardless of the season. It also stimulates the thirst response so he continues to drink and stays properly hydrated. For more information, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974.
Well, today we are so happy to have, she is 1 month late, but she's going to tell you why, Ruth Holgan Polson. She is the author of the Dressage Writer Journal, and she is on. She comes on every year, and we're always thrilled to have her. Ruth, welcome back to the show.
Hi. Thank you guys so much for having me, Reese and Megan. I'm so happy to be back. Thank you.
We love it. Well, you're an international trainer, writer, para coach, all the things, but you also are the author of this amazing journal. And Megan and I use it every year. We're super excited. I actually came over and got my copy the other day so we could be ready for the interview, but I've already been using it. So tell us, kind of, it's been a journey this year, hasn't it?
It has been a journey. You know, we have been doing the journal, I think, 6 or 7 years now. And every year we try to do some upgrades and some new interesting facts and new information. And my gal, Emily Goddard, who is my fabulous assistant, but also the artist for the journal. She does all the artwork on the cover and the center and helps me with the layout. We were ready, as always, the first week of November, and we submitted it to the self-publishing company, and then it gets sold on Amazon, and then we got approved, and then it got stuck in some kind of cosmos somewhere.
Oh, no.
So it was listed on Amazon as out of stock until well after Christmas, which was really sad and frustrating. And, you know, even after 1,500 emails and phone calls, which mostly you just get AI now responding, you know, we lost a lot of our momentum of sales before Christmas and people getting started. But we prevailed. We pursued.
Yes.
Put it out anyway, even though it's late and I know the sales will be lower because we have some new stuff and I really wanted people to get a feel for it. And, you know, try to make a silver lining. We've looked into a new platform for next year, which is really great because we're going to get to do stuff like spiral bound and taps.
Yes. Oh. I love that. I'm like, yes, that'd be great.
Yeah. So we're going to do that next season. So it'll be the same kind of journal with some other new things, but also a little more user-friendly because like I use little paper clips for my tabs so I can flip through each month, but this will have its own tabs and spiral bound. So we're looking forward to moving forward next season. And we're sorry, everybody who I have to say, I was really kind of blown away that I was actually getting emails and Facebook messages. Where's the journal?
Where's our journal?
So that was,
I was like, where are the journals? So, yeah. But it's all good. Like you said, silver lining, you get to move forward now, but there's a great new feature. There are these QR codes that are amazing. Like February, for example, you get more information when you click on the QR code. The February is 3 secrets to making every ride great. Every ride a great ride by Jane Savoy. Oh my goodness. This is an amazing document. Tell us about this, because this is also leading to a new project.
Yeah. So there's, I don't know, more than a dozen, probably 14 or 15 different QR codes that are documents and statements and articles written by one of my great mentors, late great Jane Savoy. You could practically print out a book because you can print these and keep them and do whatever you want with them. You have like so much information when you look into these QR codes. Yeah. So the next big project is I'm going to be curating a lot of Jane's information that she owned personally, that she and I worked on together over the 30 something years that we worked together. She was such a master at breaking things down and making things seem attainable in small sections in order to reach a goal, and a super good for listing off the, 13 things of ingredients you need before a flying change. Like, it just made it really clear and simple and good reading. So I'm going to be putting together some of her older projects that are kind of outdated in terms of how people purchased them in the past, which was DVDs and CDs and books, because, you know, that's kind of not so many people have a CD player anymore. So I'm going to be digitizing all of her private own things. Of course, nothing that she had in hard print with a book publishing company, but the things that she sold privately, like Happy Horse Course and Happy Horse Solutions and, I don't know, 7 or 8 other things. So I have been categorizing and digitizing and, again, working with Emily and Rhett Savoy. I'm really excited because I don't want this stuff to get lost and go away. So we are going to digitize it and sell it on a platform, probably like one of the learning school type platforms. And then half of the proceeds is going to be donated back to the Dressage Foundation to go towards the Jane Savoy grant for amateur riders.
Wow. That's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. You're welcome. It's a very, very larger than I expected project, but I feel like there's so much great information and we don't want it to go away. And we want to support the Dressage Foundation.
Well, I this February article, which is great, 3 secrets to making every ride a great ride. 1, learn to see things in the shades of gray, but 2, cultivate an attitude of gratitude. And I will tell you, when I was like 12 or something like that, I saw a lecture from Jane Savoy. She came to the Mid-South Eventing and Dressage Association, and I took my book, and I was so excited. I got my book signed from her, that winning feeling. I remember all of this very distinctly, and I remember her talking about cultivating an attitude of gratitude, and I still do this to this day. That I, and basically it's like every time I go to a horse show and I'm on the outside of the ring, she said, have a moment of gratitude. And I still do it to this day. Every time I'm at a horse show, I'm like, I am so thankful to be here, or wow, how cool is this? And, you know, it was great. And I remember that. So it's so, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, that's neat.
The article we picked. I'm like, oh my gosh, a good reminder for me. So I love that. Yeah. So. She was also someone, you know, that I read all those books and all those things. We were young enough for that. So I love that. Well, that's wonderful.
It's funny you bring that up, Reese, because I do the same thing when I go down center line. And the thing I say is, I'm grateful for this horse. So every single ride, Jane Savoy.
Yes.
It's so cool.
So I love that. She's still, so Ruth, I love that that's part of your project. That's amazing.
Thank you.
As always, we love the journal. I use the journal. I've already been, I actually went back in and I watched some videos from last month of my lessons and I wrote them in the journal because that is a good way for me to just remember, like, you know, you're in your lesson. And thankfully somebody videoed for me and I went back and I was like, oh my gosh, these are great exercises. So they've gone in my journal already. But one of the things that I love about this journal, because not speaking for a friend, because it's always a thing for me, is the distance for poles.
Yeah.
I love this. So can you talk to us about this? Because this is important. And dressage riders, we're not typically that great at it.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, once we have something set up, I think we all enjoy it. But, you know, like it's,
yeah,
we get lazy about changing things up and making things interesting. And we're all so obsessive, right? We just get going on our little project and we forget about little bits of cross training, but also mental cross training and giving the horses physical things to do that are actually going to aid us in dressage that maybe gives them a little peak of interest or helps the riders balance. So I've been putting ground pole exercises in for a number of years, but they change.
Yep.
And I felt like I wanted to make just a simple graph of basic distances for walk poles, trotting poles, and canter poles, and then why things might have to be adjusted. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. In fact, I was doing a Zoom lesson yesterday with a gal in Arkansas who was set up two sets, one with walk poles and one that were with raised walk poles. And she's all by herself. She doesn't have a ground person. So the horse knocked one down in the walk and she's like, oh, what should I do? Should I get off? And I'm like, no, because this is a walk pole. And right now this guy, we're just looking for him to be interested and walk and do a flat footed walk and reach down and look at it and use his brain and think about it. So when he had to walk over that walk pole, that was just a little bit different because he had knocked it down the prior time. He actually did better reaching and breathing and thinking and then relaxing and walking through it. I wouldn't advise the same for trotting poles or canter poles, but, you know, we use them all for different things. And it was a delight because that horse got like way less spooky because he was looking for where the next set of poles was. And so was my rider. So they weren't worried about the dog in the corner and the tractor that went by and things like that. So I try to do a different set of something once a week. And of course I drag the ring every day. And so you do have to put them up and take them down.
Yeah, but it is.
You also can, like, I will generally leave like a center pole on the center line at X, or just a foot to the side of X, one side or the other. For example, I have a couple of riders right now who are working on their one loop, shallow loop serpentine in the canter from first level.
Yep.
And if I leave the one pole there, you know, I can drag the ring pretty darn well.
Yeah.
But I also can use it for lunging or circling around or doing things. So they don't have to be always a huge grid, but just sometimes one or two little things that are different in the ring, or a cone in this corner for a first level horse, or a cone in that corner for a third level horse, makes a really big, interesting change for your day of riding.
Yep. I love it. Especially, you know, we're here and we're all in warm climates at the moment, or as warm as we can be, but especially if you're up north and you're in your arena. And I remember, you know, wow, sometimes you're just like, I need something different. So do the horses. Mm-hmm. So this is a great, great one. So I have a question because it talks about human paces, walk poles, one human pace. Talk to us about a human pace. Like, what's the definition of a human pace?
A human pace is, I measure at about 2.5 to 3 feet. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So the first thing that you really actually want to do is to take a measuring tape and measure out 3 feet, okay, and put a marker down. And do that in a couple of markers, so maybe 12 feet that you have markers every 3 feet, so you'd have 4 markers. And you train yourself to steady your pace, your step, that you can approximate a 3-foot stride when you take sort of a medium giant step, you know, remember like red light, green light, and you take like these big huge steps.
Yeah. Right? Yep.
So everybody is going to have their own size pace. You just have to know how big 3 feet is with your pace.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah. And so like jumpers do that all the time, right?
Yeah,
they count off the distance and they know how many strides and whether it's a close five or a long five or whatever. And we don't do that enough.
No.
But you know, we work in feet and we work in meters. Obviously our dressage arena is measured in meters. And so a large step is about a meter for us. If you train yourself to, I have to take a little bit bigger step than I would normally take if I was going out to catch a running horse in the paddock, you know?
Well, and I think that's important, right? Because I have really long legs. So and I'm like twice Megan. Not quite twice, but Megan's tiny. So, you know, right, Megan? I mean, I'm not lying. Like,
No. We're all so different and we all have such a different length of stride. I have a question. What is your best advice for riders who might be intimidated by daily journaling?
And so I have actually a lot of people who think at first that it's too much like school or it intimidates them. And actually some of my clients this year came to me and said, God, I needed to figure out, it was daunting for me to do my goals. I'm going to need help with that. And I said, sure, that's no problem. Let's sit down and talk about it. And when we were talking about it, I'm like, there's a bullet point. There's a bullet point. There's a bullet point. And they're like, oh, like that. And I'm like, yeah, this is not like a judged skill of sitting down and working on it. But, you know, if you think big and then you take it into smaller sections, that's how we succeed at achieving our goals.
Because,
you know, nobody can go from second level to the Pre-St. George without going through all the other tasks involved in between. And so it doesn't matter whether your goal is to do a training level test or a flying change, there's steps involved to get there. And so if you're intimidated by one, making your goals, you know, you don't even have to have your coach sitting with you. You could just be chatting with your girlfriend over a glass of wine or something and then think about what came up in your story. And then I think that once if you're intimidated by writing down your lesson, too much time, too much effort, not sure what you learned, can't remember the exercise, start with other things. Start with things that help you show trends. And I'm a really huge believer in looking for trends with my horses. And this is why I like to think about strategic riding, because there's so many other things involved with why your horse goes really well or not, right? Like it's cold. I was late. The farrier was here. The chiropractor was here. It doesn't matter what it is. If I have a fabulous ride, I'm going to make sure I look in my journal and write a few things down about the day.
Yeah.
It was sunny.
Yeah,
it was hot. Yes. It was nice. The chiropractor was there yesterday, whatever it was. And I have like a little star system in my head of, oh, Nebrijo, he was a 4-star today because I got to do half pass and I actually got to my line today. Well, what was different today? And then when you start looking at those things, sometimes things come really, really clear of, you know what? My horse is not the best the day after the chiropractic. He's best 3 days after. But you would never know it unless you make a little note. And it doesn't have to be long or a paragraph, just a little reminder of what happened that day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The day before.
Well, and I think that's part of it too. And just even journaling you know, when you're riding, how you're riding. You know, I have one lady that's a little bit struggling. She's a mom of two little kids, like, and she's struggling with getting time and figuring that out. And I'm like, well, you need to actually journal what days are working, what didn't work. You know, I think it's really important. You can use the journal for anything you need it to be. And another point I was going to make is, especially right now up north, I know you guys, it's been so cold, but this is actually a great lesson to do with your coach, because I come from the coaching standpoint of people need to have income, right? Mm-hmm. But this is actually really important to sit down and maybe on the really cold days for your lesson, you do wine, coffee, whatever, tea, whatever you want, hot chocolate, sit down with your coach and actually do it. And I think you'll really appreciate it. Plus, it also helps your coach who probably isn't making much money right now. And
It has been brutal up there. And I've been getting little videos from my trainer and barn manager in Vermont, who a shout out to my crew up there.
Oh, yeah.
Doing some of it, actually quite elaborate little obstacle courses when it's too cold to ride.
Yep.
And doing stuff and then journaling about it, because, you know, when the umbrella is down at the rail at S in the arena, it probably won't be an issue this summer when it starts to rain and somebody pops out an umbrella. So there are so many things, and you're right about the income. It just really makes also a little bit of personal time with your coach without the stress of having a lesson in that moment, but thinking about what you've done and where you're going. It is invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's another lesson too. I mean, you could actually sit down and do a couple of them. And like you said, without the stress of your horse, it's a great idea. So, I mean, there's just so many cool things that come out of this journal. And Ruth, I love the updates. We're so excited. Again, Megan and I are fans of Jane Savoy and can't wait for all of the information that you're going to bring to bring out again, or that we haven't even seen. So,
there's obviously so many pieces to her private collection that she sold privately that people know. But I have her computer, and I can't believe the things that I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember working on that 20 years ago, but now it's updated to this. There's some really interesting fun stuff. When something is ready for that, I will reach out to you.
Please do. You know.
Yes.
We would love it. Well, Ruth, tell everybody how they can get the journal, because it is live now. You have lots of copies. Like, how can people get it?
Yeah, I do have some author copies here in Wellington at the farm, or Loxahatchee at the farm. If somebody would like to reach out to me, they can text me or email me. My email is V as in Victor, I as in ice, B as in boy, A as in apple, E as in Edward, K as in kite, at AOL.com. And you can, this year, for the last year, you can get the journal on Amazon still. If you type in the search bar, the 2026 Dressage Writer's Journal, you can also find it on my website, which will take you to Amazon, which is RuthHoganPolson.com. And Facebook, you can look me up on Facebook and message me if you're interested in me sending you something. So, you're many places to find it. Next year, we'll be going directly through my website and my platform with the new upgrades, with the spiral bound and the tabs, and of course, more Q&R codes.
Yay!
The Q&R codes, I have a lot of ladies here right now, and so there are a number of them every day out at the ring watching after they have their lesson and taking notes, and I so encourage it. And I see that some of them have printed some of them out, and they're taking notes and then asking me questions about it. So,
ooh, cool.
You're welcome to do any of that. So
awesome. Well, Ruth, as always, thank you so much, and we wish you the best 2026. And we will see you shortly.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. You guys do such an amazing job. I listen to so many of your podcasts.
Thank you.
Have a great one, Ruth.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, tonight I am so excited to have Carly Kolari. She is my new friend. She has literally the best story, and it has to also, it brings in the Winter Olympics. I don't know if anybody's watching, but I can't stop watching. And she's amazing. So she is a bronze and silver medalist. And Carly, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Well, we met last weekend at the Teacher for Training program that Lyndon Gray hosts here in Wellington, and we just started chatting, and we were talking a little bit more about the business side of things and owning a business, and we started chatting, and you started to tell me your story, which is amazing. So, Carly, take it away. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, gosh. So, I'm a dressage professional, and this is actually our first Wellington season, and it's been a wild ride. It's been so cool. Like, we were Massachusetts based, normally just south of Boston, and you know, winter is rough, so it was really nice to come down here in the sun, and I honestly don't think that I will ever do another New England winter, but
that is what happens. That is what happens. So Carly, tell us about your pony, and yes, start with your pony. It's amazing.
So he's not down here with us. He's old now. He's retired. He's about he's 19, I think. And I got him as a present. So he's this like little 14-2 hand gray Morgan pony. Aww. And I went to school at UMass Amherst, and I went to school, there's an ag school within the university, and I did a 2-year program in that. And part of that program was that you needed to internship in your respective industry. And so I did equine science and business management. So I had to go work on a farm, basically. And I was 19 at the time. And I had always had this fascination with out west and Montana and the cowboy thing. And I think it's pertinent to say that I never had a formal dressage background until my later years. But so I ended up finding this woman out in Salmon, Idaho. It's this itty bitty cowboy town, straight out of the 50s. Main Street is a bar for hardware stores and a place that sells Carhartt jackets. There's nothing.
I love it.
And this woman bred Morgan horses for ranch work instead of, the show ones that people typically see. And she invited me out. And long story short, she ended up giving me this horse. So he was a project in the summer. He was a weanling at the time, and I halter broke him and took him in hand at their county fair and taught him to lead and stuff. And we just kind of became buddies. And when I left to go back home, she had reached out to my mother and was Carly and the pony's name is Topper. We call him Topper. And she said, Carly and Topper got along really well, and we wanted to give Carly first dibs. And my mother was no, we're not getting a horse. And she was no, you totally misunderstood. We wanted to give him to Carly as a gift. And my mother was no, what do I see now? So anyway, the pony came home from Idaho to Massachusetts when I was 19, and he was about a year and a half old, and I've had him ever since. And so he was the first nicer horse that I had ever had. I grew up riding, in my backyard in flip-flops. I had some lessons at a local barn, and we did a little bit of showing, but it was very, low level kind of backyard schooling shows, very, very informal. And I didn't really take a ton of lessons as a kid. You learned how to ride, and then that was kind of it. And certainly never anything formal dressage, or I never did young riders. I never had that exposure. But I knew I loved horses, and I, I said, I had gone to school for it. So anyway, I ended up with this pony and was trying to figure out what could I do with him? What were we going to do as a team? And what was the best thing? And at the time, my very uneducated self was well, he's not very big, so we're not going to be able to jump very high. We're absolutely going to do the job. And that was just kind of how I fell into it. I had taken a handful of dressage lessons maybe, but nothing, again, nothing super formal. And I ended up taking this pony and I went to work for a local trainer, and I worked for her for about 2 years, and I put the pony under saddle by myself and like did all kinds of stuff, and you know, took him training level at a local schooling show, and he got a 70%, and I was like, thought we won the world. It was like the best thing. I decided in this process that like I really loved the sport and I really wanted to learn it and I wanted to be a professional, but I didn't want to be just any professional. I wanted to be the best professional I could be. And in our area of Massachusetts, like we just don't have a ton of access to upper level sport. Like it's just, I don't want to say it doesn't exist, but it's not as readily available as a place like Wellington or, you know, like California and the West Coast has quite a bit in San Diego. And so it happened to be an Olympic year, and I was watching, it was 2012 in the London Olympics, and I was like looking at all of the US team members, and I was like, well, Stephen Peters absolutely is going to want to teach me on this pony. Hands down.
Right? Like, I love it.
So I cold called him, and I like found his number on Google, and I called looking for a job, and he answered the phone on the first ring, which I was like really shocked about because, you know, he has like a celebrity status, and I assumed that somebody like Stefan would screen his phone calls and like not answer an unknown number. And, you know, so I like kind of muddled my way through. I was like, oh, I'm Carly and I have this pony and I, you know, like want to learn to ride and whatever. And he, I think, was a little bit like, who are you and what are you doing, you know, and very justly so. So he ended up giving me the name of another trainer who operated out of their farm at the time. It was this woman, Rebecca Rigdon. And she was brave enough to hire me. And so I like flew out to California and started working for her. But in this process of deciding to make the move to California and like try to find my way in the big leagues of education and riding and all of that, the trainer that I was working for at home kind of gave me quite a bit of flack about it. And so she was like, you know, this pony is a nice pony, but he's not nice enough to take to a place like Stefan's barn. Like you can't, you're going to move all the way to California and spend all this money shipping him out there and like paying board and training on him. Like you can't do that. Like you need to sell him. You need to buy a professional horse. You need to do something different. Like if this is really the avenue you want to do. And like, she never had anything super positive to say about the decisions I had made. And I'm a really stubborn person, and I, you know, like I don't often let people talk me out of things. And I remember walking down the barn aisle one day and she was kind of giving me flack, and I turned around and I was like, have you ever seen the movie Cool Runnings? And she goes, about the Jamaican bobsled team?
Great movie. And, great movie, by the way. I haven't seen it.
It's like absolutely one of my favorite movies.
So good.
And even before this whole thing, right? And so she was like, yeah, I've seen it. Why? I go, well, Topper and I, we are Jamaica. And it just kind of stopped, right? So
she's so cute.
In this, it just became this mantra and this like internal thing of like, I can do this. That, like, I don't know, it was cheesy, but it was what it was. And so friends and family started buying me Jamaica colored things, like paddle pads and polo wraps, like, and the Jamaica flag is green, black, and gold, right? So like those aren't your typical like white, nice, crisp dressage colors. And here I was at 19 packing my pony to go out to Stefan's barn in California, and I showed up with like everything in green, black, and gold to work for this woman I've never met, and everybody's like, who are you? What are you doing? This is like not dressage land, you know. It was like a little bit of a cultural faux pas, I felt like, because when you go to a barn like that, and I didn't know anything at the time, but like everything's just like tidy and neat and white, and maybe you have like an off color black or navy blue, but certainly not green and yellow, you know. And so anyway, I had amassed all of these like Jamaica colored things, and I had started working for Rebecca and worked for her for about 6 months. And then there was a position that ended up opening up directly for the Peters. And so I ended up getting a job directly for them because they were like, oh, okay, you know, like you moved all the way out here. And I should mention that, like, I didn't have a place to live when I moved out there. Like, I kind of moved out there with the pony cold and was just like, oh, well, I'll figure it out when I get there, you know? So I, you know, I'm at the Peters now and I have this pony and I was trying to figure out like how to do this. And, you know, I was like a working student, which was lovely and all of that. And, you know, the Jamaica story kind of started to circulate between the grooms because they were all like, who are you and what are you doing with this pony? And everybody's asking about the green, black and gold when you show up tacked up in the ring to ride. And so the story kind of started to circulate amongst the barn. And it just so happened that in that that winter when I had first moved out there, the Jamaicans had a bobsled team in the Winter Olympics. And I was like, oh, this is it. I'm like,
this is it.
I'm here for it. And like, I mean, I think everybody knows how the sport is. Like I, being a working student and like paying board on your horse. And like, of course, even though I was like working off training and stuff, like it's a lot. And it was my first foray into living on my own. And I, my living situation was like fine, but you know, it gets tricky to afford all of those things on a working student budget. Like that's just the name of the game. And the Jamaicans had a website up where you could like buy team sweatshirts and stuff to support the bobsled team, right? And they were stupid money. It was like $75 for a sweatshirt and I was like eating ramen noodles from the 7-Eleven and I was like, oh, I totally need this. Like this absolutely is a thing that I
need
have.
It. Yeah.
And so I bought one. I was like, that's fine. Like it's totally fine. So I bought this sweatshirt and about 3 months later it never came. And I was like more bummed, honestly, that I was out the sweatshirt than I lost the $75, you know? And so I, as a last ditch effort, I emailed the receipt that I was sent and I was just like, hey, you know, like what happened? Where did it go? And somebody emailed me back actually like right away and they were so nice and they were like, oh, we're so sorry. We thought that we had your size in a different warehouse. It just fell off our radar. Like, I'll refund your money right away. And so I emailed him back and I was like, listen, I'm nobody in this sport. Like, I'm really nobody, but this is who I am. And this is why I wanted your sweatshirt and just keep the $75 and know that you have somebody who's wholeheartedly rooting for the bobsled team out here in California, right? And it turns out that the guy that had answered my email was none other than Devin Harris, who was the original driver of the bobsled team that went to Calgary. And it was like wild, right? And so he ends up, he's a motivational speaker now, and he wrote a book. And he ended up mailing me an autographed copy of his book and a photograph and a Jamaican Bobsled Federation t-shirt.
Aww. Did you get the sweatshirt too?
I didn't never got the sweatshirt, but I had to ask. And so in turn, I took myself and the pony and every Jamaica thing we possibly owned and I like decked them all out in it and I took a picture and I sent it to this guy as a thank you, you know, like, hey, this, like, here we are, you know, and all of our Jamaica gear and we love you and we support the bobsled team. And that was kind of it. And I had put the picture on social media and had searched and tagged all of like the past and current Jamaican bobsledders and like luge and Olympic members I could possibly find. And then they all started liking the picture of the pony.
Oh.
And so it just became like a thing for a while where every time I would put a picture of the pony on social media or like my own horse in some way, I would tag something Jamaican about it, like whether it was the flag or, you know, cool runnings related, you know, anything like that. So cut to, let's see, I was out in California for about 8 years and then I went California to Germany and I lived in and rode in Germany for a little bit and then moved home about the time of COVID, like mid COVID. And was trying to figure out like if I wanted to start my own business or like get a riding job for somebody and the world was kind of up in the air and I didn't really know what to do. And So I ended up just kind of riding a horse for a friend of mine. And then that kind of turned into, like, you know, getting a couple of clients and here and there. And then I slowly had a group of about 5 horses. So not huge business, but like a little bit of something. And that following year, I think it was 2022, maybe early 22. I'm not sure. There was the Winter Olympics were in Sochi. The Jamaicans had bobsled teams again. They had a 2-man, a 4-man, and a women's solo.
Love it.
And I was like, wow. Okay, here we are. And my barn family is like very small and really tight knit, and they are very, very good sports. And so they let me convince them that we should all go stand out in the snow with all of their 5 horses and decorate them in every, like, I had Jamaican flags, we had polo wraps, we had actually like a foam, it was from a Halloween costume, it was like a foam Jamaican bobsled that one of the ponies actually let us like put on him, so it looked like, it was, like, sitting in the bobsled. So
and I need the picture.
I need this picture. It's going to be in our show notes, everybody. Don't worry.
We have
to show it.
And like, I have a cool Runnings movie poster like hanging in our barn. So I like pulled it down and we took a group photo of all of these horses decked out in Jamaican gear. And I put them on social media and I tagged all of the Jamaican Olympians who were, you know, like going to compete in bobsledding in I think it was Sochi, right?
Yeah.
And they all reblogged from the opening ceremonies. Like, they all were like, you know, like doing all of their Olympic things and like reblogging our like small group of horses decked out in Jamaican gear. And it was just so cool. And to this day, I always, like, with my personal horse or like with the pony or whatever, like, I always tag something Jamaica, and they all still kind of follow it, which is really fun. Like, even there's a couple of people now who are in the Olympics, and of course, like, I've never met them, right?
We gotta work that out.
It's like,
that's our next one.
I want to meet everybody so badly, but
cool.
Yeah, but they all like the dressage pictures, and so yeah, I like weird tie to the bobsledders.
Now, do they have a team this year?
They do. They have a woman's solo, and I think they have a 2-man bobsled team.
I can't wait.
And I'm not sure. They have a 2-man. Yeah. I don't think they have a 4-man though.
That's so cool though. It's such a great story. Well, Carly, I love it. I love your story. I love your grit. Obviously when I heard your story, I was like, you are perfect. What are you doing on Monday? I was like, this is like perfect for the Olympics. And just, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I sit on the couch and like, I just am glued to the TV. Like, I like all the stories, you know, my husband's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, sip it. I'm watching the TV.
The Olympics are my favorite.
Like, oh, they're so fun. Everything. Cool. Well, we all work so hard and your grit is amazing. And girl, we are going to keep our eye on you and keep following you. And you're just precious. And I'm just so grateful we got to meet you and hear your story. And you got to tell everybody, because right now I know up north you need a little grit. And down here in Wellington, sometimes you need a little grit too. So Megan in California may be good. Last year she needed grit.
I'm great. I have no complaints.
No.
Carly, your story is amazing and heartwarming. And who doesn't love Jamaica and cool Runnings?
Right, exactly. It's like, I don't know. I think it's a movie that everybody has to see.
Yes.
It is. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. Well, Carly, thank you so much. How can our listeners find you online and to keep seeing this? But we will show your pictures because I want to see them too.
Yeah.
How can our listeners follow you?
I'm on Facebook, Carly Kalari, and I have an Instagram account for the horses. It's Carly Kalari _dressage.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, my friend. Enjoy the rest of season. And I can't wait to see you out and about. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. It was really fun.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Well, tonight we are so happy to have Megan Davis, Megan with an EA, as we were just laughing as we were coming on. So what, because it never gets confusing with two Megans on a podcast. But we're so happy to have Megan Davis. She is back on the show. It's been way too long. And we are so excited that she was just named to the USEF Dressage Grand Prix Developing List with Toronto's Lightfoot and or TT. Megan, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, girl, we were trying to remember how long it's been and then we just stopped counting. So we're so happy to have you back on. But I've been watching you because we're friends and it has been so fun to see you develop this horse. So you got to tell us about him and the journey you've been on with him.
Well, we got him probably 3.5 years ago. I'm trying to remember if it was 3.5 or 4 years ago. My client and I decided it was time to start playing in the big ring. And we were looking for an up-and-coming small tour horse with the potential to go all the way to a high-performance Grand Prix horse. And I looked all over Florida, all over the U.S. We hadn't quite made it into Europe yet. And my trainer at the time, Lars Peterson, called me and he was like, I just got this one in at Helgastrand and he's got a little bit of a tricky neck, but I know you can ride it and he's perfect for you. And so I flew down from New York and I sat on, I think, 8 or 10 horses total at Helgastrand because I wanted, you know, while I was there, I was going to try everything they had that was possible. There were some nice young ones, not far enough along for the goal we were hoping to achieve in the few years. And then there was a completely made Grand Prix horse, a wonderful schoolmaster that basically was like, just sit up there and look cute, kid. And I was like, this is not my horse.
Like, yes, please. You're like, I want that one. I want that one. Can I have
No, that is the one I did not want, actually. it was a lot of fun, but it just wasn't my ride.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm kidding. But I mean, I would like that. You know, you're like, yes, please.
Yeah, you just sit there and I'm like, okay, this is fun, but I can't make this any better than what it is.
It's pretty good now. Yeah, for sure. I'm teasing.
And then Lars came out on Toronto and I was like, oh yeah, that one's nice. That one's pretty. And I just sat on him and it felt like I'd been riding him for years. And I just knew instantly that he was my horse.
I love that. Doesn't you think that, girls, that is like the most important feeling when you're trying horses? Is there some level of like, there's just a connection?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what was strange for me was I hadn't picked a horse for myself since I was 15.
Oh, wow.
So the last horse that we purchased, my parents bought for me was my junior young rider horse, Cachet, who I still have. He's 30 years old right now.
Stop it. I love that.
So that was, he was 9. That was 20 years ago, 21 years ago. So figuring out like how to decide what I wanted instead of going and trying horses for clients was a totally different monster. I hadn't realized that.
Well, tell us about him. Like, first of all, he's beautiful.
Yes, he is the most handsome man in the room.
Yeah, he's pretty handsome on a Friday night under the lights. I can tell you that. I saw him on the weekend and he's gorgeous.
Thank you. Yeah, he is a looker. That's for sure. We always joke. We're like, okay, he wins the best looking award when he walks in the warm up. But he does have a little bit of a white eye.
Can't be perfect.
That makes him, you know, a little bit more on the scale of being normal instead of a freak, right? Like, if the eyes were completely normal, I wouldn't have been able to afford him.
Right, exactly. You're like, well, I couldn't have gotten him.
And does he have any like little quirks or any little special things he does?
He has a banana knicker.
Stop it.
Yeah. So his normal whinny is a little high pitched. Like if he's knickering for other horses or if he's just calling out, it's a higher tone. And then for bananas, it's like, it's very deep and throaty.
Stop it. He loves his bananas.
He knows he's going to get them. He just like, we get back to the stall after he's done competing and he gives you this look. He lifts his head up and he looks down at you and he goes, and you're like, okay, I'm coming.
I love it. Now, how old is TT?
He's 13.
Okay. Amazing. So now tell us your plan, because I got to see you under the lights. It's not that usual that the Grand Prix special is under the lights, but it was this last week. So tell us a little bit. Yeah.
So we're going to Ocala this coming weekend.
Excellent.
And we're going to go do our freestyle. I train with Allie Brock, and Allie and I have a pretty firm hold on what the game plan is going to be for him. We want to keep having successes in the show ring and not overface him. So being able to put him in the special, which is a test I know fairly well, we've been successful at under the lights first before just throwing him into global in the freestyle under the lights was a great, great thing for us. So now we're going to go do the freestyle up in Ocala, get our feet wet doing that. And then we'll look at the schedule and decide when we're going to do the freestyle at global. We've done the lights at Devon, and I love Devon, but it doesn't, it's not the same as being in that global ring.
No, it's global's way noisier or something.
It's like a fishbowl. Everything's so much closer and on top of you. Devon, there's space.
Yes.
It feels like you can still breathe.
Yep. Global, you're like right there. Yeah. And it's super loud. Like I remember being in there and just the noise of the plates. I mean, there's just like a lot of noise that their horses aren't used to. And, you know, Bingo's not spooky, but he was like, what is happening in here? And I was like, okay. And like people aren't there when you school, like you can take him in there all you want, but
exactly.
Really, there's no feeling like Friday night. Like there's just nothing like it. So I think that was so smart to take him in there. And he was wonderful. I mean, he had a really good special over the weekend.
Yeah, we were a little spooky at the bushes around the arena, but to his benefit, the day before, flower bushes were literally blowing into the arena while we were doing our test.
Wow.
In that crazy windstorm. I think they said we had wind gusts of like 30 miles per hour or something crazy.
It's been so windy here. Like I've been coming, you know, you and I have been coming a long time, and the last 3 weeks have been crazy windy. Like you said, just stuff blowing all over the place and like storms are coming out of nowhere. It's been strange. So poor guy.
I just remember thinking as they're telling me, okay, we're ready for you to come in the ring. I'm like, it definitely just got darker. Why is it getting darker?
Why? It's getting darker. This isn't good. This is not good, but I gotta go. So here we go. Yeah.
Oh, and how do you mentally prepare yourself for the competitions?
For me, you know, I braid him. I'm very hands-on with getting ready because it keeps my mind busy and keeps me moving and doesn't give me time to start overthinking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get nervous. I'm not afraid to say it. I say it as soon as I like Allie asked me, how are you feeling? I'm like, oh, I'm a little nervous. I was like, but sitting on him, being in the tack makes me feel better. And I think acknowledging that you're nervous actually gives you a little bit of freedom within it. Instead of trying to pretend like everything's perfect, it's not always perfect.
You're what?
The flower boxes blow into the ring while you're trying to pick up dinner from your massage and your horse goes sideways like mine did. But if you acknowledge it and you breathe and you move on, life goes on.
Yeah.
It sure does.
It still really does go on. Like, just drive to Walmart and you're like, don't even know my passage was a spook. Don't worry.
What is passage? Forget about they don't passage? Know
it was a horse. Exactly. Like we're like, oh my God, they spooked. And then you're like literally drive a mile away and no one cares. So, but it's good. Yeah. No, I love it. So now what happens? What are you kind of leading for? Right. Like what's the goal, the ultimate goal this year?
We're pushing to go and compete in Europe. So we're qualifying for the USEF Championships in May at Ocala at WEC. And then we're hoping to make top 8 and go to Europe.
Yeah.
So excited because that head-to-head is going to be really fun. So that's the first time in a long time, right? The first time ever it's been in May. Like it's a real deal now.
I can remember the Grand Prix Championships being over 2 weekends at Gladstone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We can all remember that, but we would have been in our teens. Yeah.
And so
it's
been a minute, you know.
Yeah, it's been a couple decades, but that's okay. Yeah, they changed it. You're right. It used to be two weekends, head to head. Everybody had to stay at Gladstone, I think. Like, it was a thing. And
so I'm excited they're doing it again. I think it's gonna be really interesting. And I feel like it'll also bring some camaraderie between the riders too, because sometimes we're all just so in our own headspace. We're not, you know, thinking about the team, which is the end goal, right? Like,
yes,
we're going to compete on a team at WEG, be, you know, part of this bigger picture. And if we're not building that from the get-go, it's never going to come to fruition at the show.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, we're so excited for you again. So explain to everybody what kind of being bumped onto a list means, because that's a big deal.
So we get to train with a U.S. coach, which is Christine Charig, which is exciting having her, you know, support. She was there at my classes this weekend watching me, you know, conversing with Allie about what the plan is, and having that support behind you is, I think, really important. And, it just makes you feel like you're part of something bigger than just being in your own sandbox every day, plugging away, getting that 70%.
Yes. I love that. I love it very much. Well, girl, we are going to really enjoy watching you this summer. And TT, he's, like I said, I'm a fan. I was so excited to talk to you about your journey with him and what was going on. And do you have any other up and coming horses?
I have a 5-year-old by Glamourdale who is a riot. We just got him in December. He blows raspberries, which I've never had a horse do that before, I swear.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious.
And he's like the sweetest creature on earth. Like, I'm always a little backed off with young horses about being lovey-dovey on them because, you know, they can get mouthy, or, you know, they're playful and, you know, they've been turned out with other young horses and they communicate with horses differently than they do with people. So when you first get them, you just want to be cautious. This one was just like a love right from the get-go. I couldn't believe it.
I love it.
And he's just pretty, which is always helpful.
Oh, I bet, with the Glamourdale. Oh my gosh, that is so exciting. Well, my friend, we are so thrilled to be watching you on your journey. And definitely we'll have to touch base again before Europe, girl. We're going to put it out in the universe for sure.
Thank you, guys. This was so much fun. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. And how can our listeners find you online to follow your journey?
Megan Davis Dressage, Instagram, or Megan Davis Facebook. Reach out. I'm always happy to chat with people, too. I mean, listen, I am in my barn mucking stalls still. I know how hard it is every day, and I'm happy to give help when I can.
I love it. I love it, girl. Well, thanks so much. And we look forward to following you. Well, everyone, we hope you enjoyed today's show because we loved all of those guests. They really were heartwarming. And Megan, we've got our book club. Bum, bum, bum.
Are you pumped? How to Ride the Horse You Thought You Bought by Anne Buchanan. I think this is a timely book for me just with my new horse. And honestly, I had no expectations, but certainly enjoying the first couple of pages, and I can't wait to delve into it more.
Me too. I'm in the same boat. I'm ready because we have on March 18th at 8 p.m. our webinar with Anne Buchanan. So everybody get reading. We're reading too, and we're really excited about that. So great book club as we're moving through. If you have not subscribed yet, do it now. Just search Dressage Radio Show on your favorite podcast player. You can join the fun and supportive community of the Horse Radio Network auditors on Patreon. You get all the behind the scenes insights, special offers, and the opportunity to participate in Horse Radio Network podcast. Go to patreon.com/Horse Radio Network. The Dressage Radio Show page is the Dressage Radio Show. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com. It is getting revamped, so it's not up right now. Don't panic. It will be in a couple weeks. I can't wait to roll that baby out. But my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com if you need to get in touch with me.
And my website is lindenhoff.com. And my email is lindenhoffllc@gmail.com. We'd like to thank our friends and show sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and Chewy. If you'd like to support our show and the Horse Radio Network, you can do that through the Auditor Program found at horseradionetwork.com. Keep on kicking on until the next show. Talk to you soon.